On September 12, 1962, then President John F. Kennedy was on the campus of Rice University, and he put out a challenge. It was that now famous speech in which he said that, It was that now famous speech in which he challenged the American public to put a man on the moon within that decade. There were all kinds of struggles in our nation in the 60s. We were divided on many, many levels. But he put out that challenge and he said, let us focus on one thing. And that one thing is to put a man on the moon. That challenge culminated in an event which, unless you have been on the moon last week, you will know the 50th anniversary of that event occurred yesterday. They tell us that in today's money, the cost of putting a man on the moon was approximately $350 billion. It cost three men their lives when Apollo 8 caught fire and the three astronauts who were in that perished. It also, with the cosmonauts, and we're not sure of exactly how many, but a number of cosmonauts lost their lives as well. There was a singular purpose, partly out of fear. There was a fear that whoever got there first would put a military station and that the other nations would be at disadvantage. And so there was this focus, this one focus. Let us do one thing. Let us put a man on the moon. And not money, not the loss of life, nor any other thing could deter us from that event. And I remember 50 years ago last night, it was a Sunday. We came home from Sunday night church and gathered around our still then black and white television as we watched that event as Neil Armstrong stepped on the face of the moon for the first time. The question I have for you this morning is, what is your focus? There were a myriad of things that could have caused us as a nation to lose our focus of what President Kennedy challenged us to do. There was the expense. There was the unrest and problems of the Vietnam War. There was the death of those three men. Some people believing because we were trying too quickly, taking too many shortcuts, and they gave their lives. But the fact of the matter is, we chose to focus on achieving that one thing. My question to you this morning is a simple one. What do you choose to focus on? What is the really important things for you? Now, most of us, because we're in church this morning, would say, well, it's serving God or doing this, or, and you might give me a churchy answer. But is that the truth? As I sit and think about the things that I focus on, I have to be honest with you. If you ask me, Jerry, what is the one of the things that you focus on? What's one of the really, really, really important things to you? One of the first things for me, and it's probably partly because of my age, but one of the things for me is four people, my four grandchildren. I focus on my grandkids. They are great. And they keep my wife tired and me young. And it is great to have them. But they're getting older. And our two oldest ones now at 20 and or 22 and 20 kind of don't spend as much time as grandma and grandpa anymore. This last week, I had the opportunity to talk to a person who stood at the side of a coffin and said goodbye to his wife. Later in the week, I received a phone call asking me to go talk to a family whose son had been driving down the highway, and in one of the storms we had, a tree fell on the car and killed him instantly. I had another situation, and part of this is because I'm a counselor, I get these kinds of things, but I had another situation of a gentleman that stood and asked me to go to lunch with him and talk to me about some struggles that his relationship is having, both personally and in his ministry. And another person who told me that he'd made an unwise decision and half of his retirement account is now gone. And as I began to hear these things, and this on Friday, as I was beginning to sit and reflect over my week and think about those different events, I thought about how many of those things that they were focused on, I find myself focusing on. And as I type these words, what do you focus on? At first, it was just a question that's like, okay, I'm going to ask you. But then, isn't God that way sometimes when I'm trying to do it for others? And Andrew, you who are teaching, and also Jerry, when you're teaching, don't you find that when you're trying to teach others, God speaks to you the most? And God said to me, Jerry, what are you focused on? And what are the people that are around you, what do you think that they are focused on? And as I think about it, the fact of the matter is that I don't know. I mean, I know many of you, but I don't know what's going on in your life, on your week. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the things that are going on in your week. But most of us, I think, if we're really honest, focus on family, finances, activities, trying to become popular, fill in the blank. But the fact of the matter is, what does God really want us to focus on? We have been looking at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in chapter 12, Paul lays out for the people of Corinth some of the things that they had been focusing on. You know, the gifts, their abilities, their skills, their finances, their achievements, all of those things. In chapter 14, he will go on and focus again on the things that they were proud of. But in the midst of that, he puts this small chapter 13, and we have been looking at the last several weeks at this whole issue of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It keeps no record of wrong. It always trusts. It always perseveres. And then he ends with these words of verse 8. Love never fails. And I find that as I read that sentence, I focus often on that word, fails. But the fact of the matter is, God wants to remind me in saying and giving these words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that it is love that never fails. That everything else in my life is important, but they're transient. You see, love is to be the compelling force in our lives. I was telling First Service this morning, I don't know how much more clearly God can make that for me. On Monday, I went to District Assembly, and while I was at District Assembly, and people were giving reports, and I don't know exactly when it was, but at some point in District Assembly, I started listening, and I heard this phrase, and so I kept track of it, and three times for sure, after I kept track of it, I heard this idea. You may have heard it before. Three different times people stood up and they said this. There's only one thing you're supposed to do. Love God and love people. Now, That was a brand new thought to me. And if it was to you, then you've been asleep for the last 3 weeks, because that's what we've been talking about. Love God and love people. Tuesday, I come and I'm opening a magazine, a Christian magazine, and I open it to an article, and in that article it's talking about the need for ministry, in the ministry needs in our churches today. And at the bottom of it says, there is only one thing that you need to do. Guess what it was? Guess what it was? Love and love. Wednesday night, I go to church. I go back to camp. My good friend, Dr. Ron Blake, who he and I pastored together in Indiana. I wanted to see him, so Darlene and I drove down, and we listened to him to preach. Ron was a great friend of mine. He was actually pastoring the Nazarene Church when I was pastoring another church in town when my wife and children were killed in that car wreck, and so he was very, very instrumental in my life. But as he was preaching, And he said a lot of things wonderful, but one of the things I heard him say is, you know what, there's only one thing you need to do. You need to love God, and you need to love people. So Friday, when I'm sitting there and I see this love God and love people, I go, okay, Lord, I get it. You see, we focus on all kinds of stuff. Family, our financial situation, our housing, our popularity, our security for the future. Now, let me be very clear with you. None of those things are bad unless they take the place of the most important. God says to us, love is what never fails. And he does that, and as we look at that, he really tells us, and I want to look at really three foundational ideas of what he's trying to say to us. And the first thing that I think he's trying to say to us is this, that love for God and love for each other, because that's what he means by love, is preeminent. That means that's the really real, that is to be the focus of our lives. Now, as I've mentioned before, and I want to mention this again, understand that love has two sides to it. Love has the side to it of encouragement and supporting and engaging, but it also has the side of it of accountability. Sometimes you have to love somebody enough to tell them the tough stuff. And that's what we were looking at in Sunday school when we talk about the fact that God wants us to have love, but he also wants us to have truth. But what Paul is telling this group of people and what Paul is telling us is that the focal point of our lives is to be loved, because love is what's permanent. Notice what he says, and he gives it in a positive and a negative side. In the positive side, he says this, love, as God demonstrates it, never fails. Now, it never fails. That doesn't mean it doesn't fail most of the time. That doesn't mean it doesn't fail part of the time. He says, love never fails. But then he goes to the other side, and I think the reason he says this is because the other things are the things that I look at that I don't want to fail. You see, the Corinthian believers, they were a pretty proud group of people. They were happy with what they had achieved. And so some of them, God had given them the prophetic gift. The gift to be able to discern those things were about to happen. Maybe not necessarily as we sometimes think as prophecy, but telling the future. But the prophetic gift of being able to understand and discern what the future was. And it was a wonderful gift. It is kind of nice to have a gift of discernment. But they were feeling pretty good about themselves. I got this ability, and I'm using this, and you need to listen to me. But notice what Paul says to him. But whether there are prophecies, they will stop. then some of them felt pretty good because they had the gift of tongues, the gift of glossolalia. And there were two different ideas here. One of them is that it was a sign gift. In other words, because they had this gift, they said, look at me, I'm pretty special because I have this. Others looked at it as this is the ability for them to communicate with others about their relationship with Christ. But either one of those situations, they said, look at us because we have this ability to do this. And Paul says to them, your tongue's going to be stilled. And then some of them says, we have knowledge. There was knowledge. And this knowledge is this, again, this idea of discernment and knowing a lot of things and being pretty smart. And he says, your knowledge is going to pass away. And the whole key of what he is saying here and the lesson for us is, there are certain things that are permanent, and there are certain things that are going to pass away. And the question that he asked them, and the challenge that he gave to them, and the challenge that he gives to me, and I think maybe the challenge he gives to you, is this. Do we focus on the permanent, or do we focus on the transient? Do we focus on our house, our bank account, our family, our grandkids, all of those things, to the exclusion of focusing on what's really important? You see, God loves us enough that he reveals himself to us in what's really important. Now, I wish God would have said to me, you know, Jerry, if you really love me, what you need to do is do all kinds of work so that you'll become popular. I would have liked that. Jerry, if you really, really love me, if you really trust me, you'll go out and make all kinds of money and so that you'll be really, really rich. If you really love me, Jerry, you're going to go to this church and you're going to work with this church and you're going to build this wonderful big building and everybody's going to come around and say, wow, look at what they did. And for at different times in my life, I will admit to you, maybe ashamedly, but admit to you, sometimes that's where I've been at. Sometimes that's where I'm at. I get focused on me. And as I said last week, it's not all about me. By the way, it's not all about you either. It's about God. And he tells us that if you want to be a follower of me, what you need to do is do the really important. And the really important is loving God and loving each other. And again, that loving is loving enough to be an encourager and an accountability partner. Because everything else will pass away. My parents attended a church in Morton, Illinois. And a number of years ago, they went through a new building program, and it was beautiful. I mean, this new facility was just, it was like out of the park. I mean, it was out of the park for then. Now it would be, we'd say, oh, it's dated, but it was out of the park. And they were getting excited because in a couple of weeks, they were going to have the first service. And you know how it is exciting for those of you that came into this building in the first service. And they were excited and everything was happening. And 2 weeks before their service, there was an electrical fire and the building burned to the ground. And they were devastated. And as they were walking through the rubble of the building, they found that one of the lights had fallen and had melted, and two of the timbers had fallen and melted into the plastic. And as it cooled off, there in the plastic of that light was a wooden cross. And as they were walking through that, someone saw that in the coolness. It was cool enough that they picked it out, brought it out, and put it on the sidewalk in front. And everybody that walked up had a choice to make. Am I going to look at the burned out building, or am I going to look at the cross? If you go to that church today, you will find that plastic wooden cross on the wall of their sanctuary. Because it was a reminder to them that we are not about buildings. Buildings are nice. Can I tell you a secret? We have a couple churches this morning that don't have electricity and weren't able to have service this morning. I like that we have electricity. You could probably hear me without it, but I like that we have electricity. I like that we have air conditioning. That's kind of nice too. I like all of those things, but those aren't the really important. The important thing is to understand what God tells us, that loving him and loving others is what's really permanent. But he tells us a second thing, which, can I tell you, I don't like this one. Because I like to think that I pretty well got it all together. I like to think that, you know, I'm clicking on all cylinders and I pretty well know what I need to know. But what does he say to us? He says, our abilities are incomplete. And notice those next words. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. And I emphasize that because sometimes I want to go, you, why don't you have it together? Why don't you do it right? Why don't you get your act together? You know, sometimes I say to my wife, and she's not here this morning, and I made sure she wasn't here because I knew I was going to talk about her. So, I mean, last time I tried to talk about her, she snuck in the back. Sometimes I like to look at my wife and her ideas and think that they're wrong. No, I know that they're wrong. And then, see, I'm right and she's wrong. Now, please do not raise your hand because I don't want you husbands in trouble, but do you ever think that your wife or your spouse might be wrong? Okay. I'm right and they're wrong. And sometimes we look at this and we think, I've got it all together and you don't. But don't you love what Paul says? Paul didn't say you don't have it together. Paul said we don't have it together. That we know in part and we prophesy in part. In other words, this leader of the church who was the one who wrote scripture, who the Holy Spirit used to transform the lives of people, realized that he couldn't focus on him. He couldn't focus on his accomplishments. He couldn't focus on his abilities. In which, in fact, he says, we, because Paul could not boast in himself. Only thing he could boast about was the love of God. Why? Because God was smarter than he was. Do you realize that? Do you realize that God is smarter than you? Notice what Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 11. He said, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable is his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? You know why I love God and love people? It's not necessarily because I want to. It's not because, and you know what? Let me tell you a secret. It's not necessarily because you're lovable. And it's sure not necessarily because I'm lovable. Because you just spend enough time with me and you'll know that. You know why? I do what God tells me to do in loving him and loving others. Because one, God told me to do it. And two, he's smarter than me. I say, oh God, I got this plan. We need to do it this way and we need to do it that way. And you know, we need to focus on this and we need to focus on that. And we need to focus on the other, blah, 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 blah. And God says, who knows more, you or me? Who knows more, you or God? That's a question I'm asking. Who knows more, you or God? This is the part where you can answer. Who knows more, you or God? Okay, that side's awake. Who knows more, you or God? God knows more, right? But we come to the point that we think we have a better idea. We make all these truths and all these things and everything else. And God says it's simple. If you want to trust me, if you want to believe in me, if you want to follow me, you do two things. Love God and love your neighbor. And that's the really real. That's the permanent. That is the focus that God wants us to have. You see, because my abilities and your abilities and my opportunities and your opportunities and the things that we can do and the things that we think are important are by fallible human beings that really don't know the mind of God. See, he says to us, Jerry, your knowledge is partial, but God's is complete. And as we love him, he reveals himself to us, which leads us to the third thing, and that is that only love has lasting value. Notice what he says, but when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. Now, it's important to understand, and different theologians have different ideas on what it means when completeness comes. But I think it is important to understand that the key is to understand that the world has not come to a point of completeness. We have not arrived. When that point of arrival is going to come, there's different theologians have different ideas, and I'm not going to get up and talk to you about that this morning. I'm just going to talk to you about this. It hasn't arrived yet. We haven't arrived. We don't have all the answers. We don't understand everything. And until we do, you know what? Our ability will diminish as we get older, and as we, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more the things diminish. I mean, besides my hair, more things are diminishing. Ron was talking to me the other night about something that happened 30 years ago when he and I was pastoring in Indiana, and I didn't remember that. And he said, oh, do you remember this person, this person, this person? And I go, no. And he goes, oh, don't you remember that? He told me about a situation that occurred. Oh, yes, now I remember the situation. For those of you who are young, I have good news. Enjoy it, because it only goes downhill. I get less smarts, but I get more wisdom. My abilities are diminishing. And so God has to make it real simple. And he says, you know what? Love God and love each other. Because that's what truly lasts. When you walk in this door, my eyes are always drawn to that cross. Because that cross is the essence of everything we believe. That cross represents God saying to me and to you, you're not perfect. You don't get it right all the time. Sometimes you focus on the wrong things. But when I ask you to love me and love others, I'm not asking you to do something that I didn't do first. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that God loved you and me enough to put out a right hand and to put out a left hand and to let nails be driven into those hands? To allow himself to be risen up and with a thud, his body hangs on a cross. And the weight of his body comes down so to the point that he can't even breathe. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's been so hot this week, it's kind of like been hard for me to catch my breath. And I can't even begin to think what it was like for him to hang there. And he hung there for one thing. Not because I was going to get it right. Not because you were going to get it right. Not because of my house. Not because of my church. Not because of my bank account. Not because of my family. But because he loved me. Stop and think about that. He loved me. And he loved you so much. And we make it so hard. And we make it so difficult. We focus on these things that are so important to us and lose sight of what he's asked us to focus on. One final thought. If you were to go to the moon today, we're told that because of the atmosphere of the moon, that in all probability, things have been pretty much left unchanged. And if you were to go to the moon today, you would find probably this print. Look at that print. 350 billion dollars was spent for that print to happen. Three men lost their lives for that print to happen. That print is not seen by anyone. That print is in a cold and desolate and lifeless place. That print represents our arrogance of what we thought we could do. I'm not against the moon landing, but I will tell you this. What do we focus on? I've enjoyed the celebration this last week of the 50th anniversary, although I really only thought it was 25, but 50 years. And I look at that, and it's a wonderful accomplishment of what man has done. But that can't be the focus. Can I tell you something? See that? That can't be the focus. You know what the focus needs to be? That. That right there is the focus. To recognize that he loved us so much that he demonstrated his love for us. So in just a few minutes, you're going to go out those doors. And I want to make it real simple. I'm a simple guy, so I want to make it real simple. When you go out those doors this week, what are you going to focus on? You're going to focus on your house, your car, your family, your stuff, none of which are bad. But if focusing on them gets in the way of focusing on that, you're in trouble. And so God calls all of us to go out and to demonstrate that great love. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. We spent a decade focusing on one goal. And although it's not a bad goal, it didn't make especially our nation and our world any better. This may come as a surprise to you, but I think sometimes when I look at society, we've got a few problems. One or two. You know what the answer to those problems are? You know what the solution to that problem out there is? It's you. And it's me. Focusing on the thing that God tells us to focus on. Love him. Love your neighbor. And do it in tangible ways. So as we go out today, as you go out this week, think about it. How do I love God and love my neighbor? Sometimes that's going to be encouraging. Sometimes that's going to be confronting in a loving way, speaking the truth in love. But let's go out and let's make our world a better place because Christ came and loved us. And let's show that love to others. Amen? Because that's what he's called us to do. Let's pray. Father, Father. The very fact that I can come into the presence of God and call him Dad is a wonderful reminder of how much you loved me. And Lord, help me as I go out these doors this week not to get distracted with all the stuff, but to remember what's permanent. My abilities, my successes, all of those things are incomplete. But when I am faithful to you and do your will, it changes. It changes me. And dear God, can it please change our world? Be with us as we go out this week to serve. We are not dismissed. We are released for service. Make us be the people who focus on the truly important, the permanence of love that never fails. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.